Hey folks, Justin McElroy here. Listen, just want to warn you ahead of time, while this week's show will still be free of profanity as you've come to expect from us, we do get into some adult topics. So if you're listening with the kids, you might want to make sure that they're comfortable with that, I guess. I don't know what your relationship is like with your kids.
I'd have that whole birds and the bees talk with them before listening to this episode if I were you.
You go ahead and knock that out. Thanks.
Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. One, two, one, two, three, four.
Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I am your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
Happy Max Fun Week, everybody. We're deep in, almost in the home stretch of Max Fun Week.
Yeah, I hope you've been enjoying it.
I hope you've had a lot of fun. Thank you to everybody sharing episodes. We are joined by our third member, our unofficial...
mascot.
Our unofficial mascot. This is a 2.5 person...
Oh, no.
So close.
Two and a half, not, we don't want to call her a man.
No.
Oh,
well, I don't want to call you a man either, so it's not really accurate.
Thanks.
Yeah. 2.5 person podcast, Sawbones.
She dressed as a Ninja Turtle just for this.
Yeah. So
she's
thank you.
She's adorable.
She's the cutest. Thank you to everybody tweeting about the show and sharing your favorite episodes yesterday and leaving ratings and reviews. You've all been wonderful. There's still more to come, though. Maximum Week isn't over yet, so go to MaximumFun.org. And /, find a list of activities there. Sid, we owe people an apology.
We do?
Yeah, for last week. We talked about cataracts, and, well, I don't know how to put this, but it was a little much for some folks.
Does that bother people?
I got a lot of people saying, who had, like, initially thought, eh, nothing bothers me. And then they were indeed bothered by all the... eyeballs and cutting the eyeballs and unpleasantness.
See, I understand conceptually that kind of thing bothers people, but it's so hard for, like, literally nothing.
You've at least gotten past the point where you'll tell, like, hugely upsetting stories while we eat. I appreciate that.
That's true. That's true. I will say this one thing. Spit kind of bothers me.
Spit does bother you.
Like, to see spit, that kind of bothers me. But cutting into eyes, nah, that's fine. You can do that all day.
But I was hoping you could dig into your archives and pull us out something a little lighter that we could talk about this week.
Well, let me see what I got. Oh, I know. You want to talk about Ebola?
No.
That's not, you don't think that's lighter?
No. Try again.
Okay. I got like three more episodes worth of Black Death stuff. You want Black Death? Is that lighter? Is that
lighter? A little lighter.
No. Broken heart syndrome.
No,
you want to know?
No.
No,
again.
Not that. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay, I got something here.
Hit me.
So, this is something that a lot of our listeners have actually asked us for. We've talked about this guy a little bit, briefly in one episode before.
Who is he?
But Dr. John Brinkley. You may remember him as the goat testicle doctor.
Nailed it. Perfect.
Yeah, goat testicles. I thought that might be what the doctor ordered.
I'm going to put away the paper I was using for Foley work. I provided the Foley work for that segment.
I didn't know what that was, but I figured it out in context.
That's my Foley work.
Those are my verbal skills. I know what it means in context now.
Did somebody submit this one to us?
Well, most recently, Michael emailed us asking us for this topic.
That's sawbones@maximumfun.org.
But I will say... I realize that there are probably people listening going, I recommended that, I suggested that too. And I know we've had this suggested several times, and I hadn't done it, like I said, because we kind of alluded to him, I think, when we talked about aphrodisiacs or something. Maybe.
Okay, what's his full name?
Dr. John Romulus Brinkley.
Oh, that's a good middle name.
You know what? Woof. You know what's sad, though? Do you know, true fact, he later changed it to John Richard Brinkley?
You doofus.
Because he thought Romulus was
too sweet, and he couldn't live up to the pressure of having such a sweet, sweet name.
He was made fun of for it, and he didn't like that, so.
I can't imagine.
So his dad was John Richard Brinkley, and so he just went ahead and became John Richard Brinkley.
John Richard was trying to break the cycle of boring. I'm not going to have my son suffer the same fate.
He actually made himself a second and then created a third.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It almost skipped a generation. The Richard skipped a generation, but...
So he was born in 1885, and I think I already kind of mentioned his dad. So let me tell you just a little bit, because if we're going to tell the whole story, let me tell you a little bit about his dad. So his dad was a doctor, a medical doctor. I think it's interesting. His father was married a total of 5 times. Mm-hmm. The first time, his marriage was annulled because he was too young to get married.
Okay.
And this was this would have been the mid-1800s.
So he must have been a toddler.
Yeah, so basically. I'm figuring three or four.
3 or 4 years old.
He went on to get married 4 more times, all to women much younger than him. At one point, he married a Sarah, and then her niece, also named Sarah, came to live with them.
Okay.
And... John, the doctor that we will be speaking of, the John Romulus,
right?
He is the product of his dad and the niece, Sarah. Not wife Sarah, but niece Sarah. However, then she died, and so he was raised by his father
Sarah. Okay, Sarah won.
Although he referred to her as Aunt Sarah. He was aware that wasn't his mother, so
Whoa,
he did call
this
her.
This is some wild I'm my own grandpa stuff going on here. I'm trying to parse this all out. And you know, with origins like that, I can't believe the dude didn't turn out more normal.
I know. It's a wonder he had some problems. So he was raised mainly actually by Aunt Sarah, because his father passed away when he was pretty young. Mm-hmm. And so mainly by Aunt Sarah. He came from kind of humble origins, you know, not a great educational background, not a lot of money. He started out when he started working as a patent medicine salesman, which we've talked about before. Mm-hmm. So basically he was like an early medical huckster who kind of went around the country trying to sell people stuff that wasn't really medicine, but he was trying to pass it off as medicine.
Right.
And he pretty early on got married to a younger woman named Sally, and they actually did this as a team. So early on, they would go around. They had a medicine show that they ran. Mm-hmm. So, like, we've mentioned medicine shows before, haven't we?
I think so, yeah. It was sort of a touring production where you would get some entertainment, and you would also be persuaded to buy some pills. Or a tonic or a tincture.
And they usually would pose as something that may be exotic or unfamiliar to the average mm-hmm. townsperson. So they pretended to be Quakers, because not everyone was familiar with Quakers. And so they were thought to maybe have medical knowledge beyond the realm of the norm. So they would pretend to be Quakers, and they would sell a virility tonic. Mm-hmm. But he really did want to be a real doctor.
Had high hopes, yes. Aspirations.
Yes, even though
fake it till you make it, I say.
That was the plan. I'll just keep pretending I'm a doctor, and then maybe one day...
It'll stick.
It'll work out. So they eventually settled in Chicago, and he entered the Bennett Medical College of Eclectic Medicine.
Eclectic medicine.
Eclectic. Do you know what that is? Eclectic medicine.
I mean, I certainly get a vibe, but is it legit?
Well, no. It was a popular... It was a kind of a branch of medicine in the early 1900s, and it drew from different, it was eclectic, it drew from different areas of medicine, none of them particularly real. A lot of herbal stuff, similar to, I think we've talked about the Thompsonians, who kind of created their own branch of medicine, their own like medical beliefs. Basically just kind of drew on anything that sounded like it might work, not really evidence-based.
Kind of like some late Decemberists, some sea shanties, some Bruce Springsteen, Ruth Rock influence, the indie thing.
Just whatever.
Just whatever, whatever worked.
Whatever felt good that day. So he actually was working his way through medical school. He worked at Western Union at night. and he went to school during the day. And this would have worked out fairly well, although, I mean, it was a struggle. He was constantly in debt. It was, you know, he was raising a young family and trying to go to school. Except his marriage kept having problems. So first of all, he came home one day and his wife had taken their daughter and run off and filed for divorce. So he tracked them down. He found them. This is why he had several interruptions in his medical education. So he tracked them down and then kidnapped his daughter and went to Canada for a while.
Okay.
And then he came back and him and his wife reconciled and got back together.
That's nice.
And then she got pregnant again and ran away again.
Okay.
And so he tracked her down again with their two children now. And basically she was like, I don't want you going back to medical school. I'm done with this doctor thing. Stay here with me. And he said, okay, all right. I'm not going to go back to medical school.
Well, that's good. Happy ending.
But I still want to be a doctor.
Okay.
So he gave up his dream for a little while, and then he started kind of looking around. He was living in near Kansas City at the time, and he thought, well, there's a school there maybe I could get into. So he went and applied there among different medical schools, and then he went back to Bennett Medical College, the first medical school, and said, okay, I need my records, you know, like of the years that I've already completed so that I can get into one of these new medical schools. And they said, dude, you owe us like a ton in tuition. So no. So until you like pay us.
It's kind of like when I tried to graduate and Marshall told me that I had $430 in parking tickets.
Yes. You can't graduate till you pay the parking tickets.
Can't graduate till you pay your parking tickets, folks. That Don't be like truth. Me, kids.
That is the truth. There was also a book that I had from the library.
Really? It slowed you down?
Mm-hmm. That was an issue, too. So they wouldn't forward his records, so he couldn't actually attend any of the medical schools he applied to, including the one in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. However, the Kansas City Eclectic Medical University did not have what I would call high standards.
Right.
He was able to get a degree for the low, low price of $500.
A bargain.
And no actual attendance, no, you know, not actually going to any classes there.
Oh, cool. Like Phoenix University. Like yeah. Not.
Well, I mean, don't they make them do something?
I think you have to. I'm just kidding. I think Phoenix is like a real thing.
I know. There's somebody who's mad now.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I don't know. No, this was not like Phoenix. This was like, here's $500. And they were like, great. Here's your degree.
Oh, like WVU.
Now.
Like a little interstate rivalry.
Yeah. Go Herd.
Go Herd. Okay.
So He bought a degree, and that degree was actually...
For our West Virginia listeners, enjoy.
Well, for our Huntington listeners.
For our Huntington listeners, Morgantown listeners.
Three of you.
Did not enjoy that.
Loved that.
Yeah.
So that degree, so to speak, I would be doing air quotes if I wasn't holding our daughter. That degree was good in about 8 states.
Oh, okay.
Believe it or not, at the time. So
that's fine. They didn't have cars.
Yeah.
Get one state and stick with it.
There you go. So he took his fake degree and he started trying to get work as a doctor. But the problem was people knew, I mean, it was a fake degree. So he was having trouble.
It was printed on gum.
He was having trouble getting
a big piece of gum
at first. He was also, he hadn't completed any of kind of what would have been a residency training at the time, like an apprenticeship of any kind. And so without doing that, it was hard to get work as well. So he had his fake degree. His wife, he's trying to drag her around with now their 3 children to find work. And she basically just said, I'm through with this, buddy, and took off. Sure. And he let her go that time. So exit Sally and the 3 children.
Did he have another? For did now. He take a lesson from his dad and have another Sally waiting in the wings?
Well, not another Sally, but hold on.
Okay.
So he moved on down to South Carolina, and he hooked up with this other doctor named Crawford, who was also like a patent medicine man. Mm-hmm. And they opened an office, and they started giving out injections for virility. He was really into virility, you'll find. This is a theme in his life. It was one of the few things maybe he showed up for in medical school, like... Hormone lectures or something.
Yeah, he was there for virility class, front and center.
And he was really into virility. So they started giving injections for virility that were actually just colored water which was a popular trick of patent medicine men at the time. Just give you an injection of something that looked like it might be a medicine. And he actually charged $25 a piece for these.
Whoa. Which was a mint back then.
It would have been. It would have been over $100, I believe. They called it electric medicine from Germany. I guess that made it sound like, I don't know, maybe the Germans were known for their...
electric medicine?
And their sexual prowess or stamina or something.
Virile Germans. Virile maybe. Is a German, that man is.
I've heard that. That's a very popular expression.
Especially around here.
Yeah. That people say that in Huntington all the time.
It's a local thing.
Mm-hmm. Totally true. However, after about 2 months... they hadn't paid any of their bills for the storefront that they had rented, for electricity, for the place where they were living, basically any bills.
Just a recurring theme with Mr. Brinkley.
They'd passed some bad checks, and they basically had to sneak out of town before they were arrested.
Nice.
So he headed on to Memphis, and this is where he gets remarried.
Oh, good.
So he does not meet another Sally. He does meet a young lady, again, much younger than him, named Minnie. And I think this is great. They fall in love. 4 days later, I believe, they got married. They go on a honeymoon. And while on their honeymoon, he's tracked down and arrested for passing all those bad checks in South Carolina.
You know, it's not perfect. It's not what I wanted, but it's our story. It's still special. It's our story. No one else has a story like this. I love you.
He's taken back to South Carolina to stand trial. And when he gets there, he basically, by the way, just says, it wasn't me, it was Crawford. So they track him down, too, and take him back. But his father-in-law, so Minnie's dad, This is why it's important Minnie entered the picture.
Mr. Minnie.
He helps out by bailing him out of jail because he's actually a medical doctor. Again, he keeps finding doctors. He's not one, but he keeps finding doctors. And he has some money, and so he does help bail him out, which... I don't know why you'd do that at that point.
You know, you want to believe that your daughter has found a legit guy and he wants to give him every opportunity.
I don't know, because I really am a doctor.
You're correct.
And if Charlie brought home a guy who had a fake medical degree...
He's more like a doctor groupie, though, right? He's like Luis Guzman in Boogie Nights. You know, he's not part of it, really, but, like, God, he wants you so bad.
But, I mean, he calls himself Dr. Brinkley. Like, bought a medical degree.
It's not like affectionate. Like, I call...
He's like Dr. Phil.
It's like calling my Aunt Stephanie. Who isn't a medical doctor. Aunt Stephanie, even though she's not technically my aunt, but, like, she's family, basically, so I call her Aunt Stephanie, sort of. Like that. It's basically like that.
Yeah, but giving somebody the title aunt, even if they're not technically your aunt, doesn't then entitle them to, like, do surgery on you.
That's true.
Prescribe medicine.
I would not ask Aunt Stephanie to do surgery on me.
That's not a good idea because she's not a surgeon.
That's correct.
So he, for whatever reason, Minnie's dad bails him out. He goes back to Memphis to, you know, get back to his life there that he's with his fake medical degree that he's attempting to build. When guess who shows up?
Who?
Old Sally.
Sally, you dog.
Sally Where tracks him down with her 3 kids in tow. And she's mad.
Not happy.
She doesn't want him back, but she doesn't like the bigamy.
Oh, because, yeah, right.
Because now he's married to 2 women.
Yeah. Technically, I guess, in the eyes of the law.
So, here's the thing. She shows up to tell Minnie, like, just so you know, he married me first. That's my man.
That's my man.
And Minnie apparently doesn't care. The only thing they're concerned about is that bigamy, of course, is illegal.
Right.
So they hightail it out of town again.
Again.
Again. So they
Poor
start.
John, I'm starting to feel bad for that guy. He's just trying to make his way through this crazy world.
So basically, at this point, he's traveling around. He finds some work here and there as a doc. He makes enough money to pay his debt to Bennett Medical College eventually so that they will release his records to Kansas City, who officially graduates him, not after completing any actual training, but because he gives him $100 more.
Oh, great.
So at that point, it's not one of their fake degrees. It's one of their real degrees that he still didn't earn.
But.
And these are still all from what would have been considered, even at the time, highly questionable medical schools.
It sounds official, though.
And what did he do during this period? He actually started working at a meatpacking plant.
Okay.
He was doing medical work there, like for the workers. I don't know, occupational medicine, I guess.
Sure. You're on staff doctor at the meatpacking plant.
With his new medical degree, he starts working at the meatpacking plant. And this is very important because it is here that he becomes fascinated with goats.
Finally. Oh, I've been waiting for the goats to enter the story.
So I guess among the meats that are packed at the plant are goat meats.
Goats and goat byproducts.
And he notices, and so he's in part of the whole process, like the slaughterhouse is there and everything. So he sees the live animals before they become, you know,
not
packed meat.
Right.
And he notices that the goats are like, they're really down to get down. I guess.
The goats are like the jock in a horror movie. Like, this could be our last night. What if we die tonight? I don't want to die a virgin. You? No, me neither. Let's do this thing.
And that's what all the goats are doing all the time. Not the cows, not the pigs.
No. Cows are resigned to their fates. Pigs don't know what's up.
No.
Goats are down to clown.
And he starts thinking about this because he's already, you know, like I said, fascinated with virility. And so this is where he starts piecing together, how can I take my knowledge of goat horniness and my fake medical knowledge and use it to serve mankind? Now, this was almost the end of his story.
Oh, yeah?
Because right at this point, when he's on the verge of his great revelation about goats, World War I happens, and it almost interrupted his career because he was a reservist. Mm-hmm. So he was called up. But he only served 2 months because he basically spent the whole time hospitalized for a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, that would be stressful.
Yeah, well, I
can't fault him for that.
Well, with this guy's history,
okay, yeah, maybe he was running something of a scam.
So it almost interrupted his what he is to be known for very shortly, but not quite. Speaking of interruptions, I'm going to need you to do something for me, Justin.
Let me guess. Billing department.
Head to the billing department.
Let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth. Okay, so interruption passed. Sydney, what's next for John?
So at this point, John Brinkley decides we're gonna settle down, Minnie and I. We're gonna settle down.
No more running.
No more running. Sally can't find me. We're going to settle down in Milford, Kansas. And this will be the site of his great revelation.
Beautiful Milford.
So first of all, he starts working in Milford right at the onset of the flu pandemic of 1918. Mm-hmm. And he makes quite a name for himself at this time. This is basically why he is able to go on and do what he does next. Because he's got a really good bedside manner. He's really well liked by the people he cares for. And you know, there are a lot of patients all of a sudden who desperately need a doctor and are not taking the time to check credentials. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, the thing about the flu at the time, there wasn't a lot to do about it. So just being there and holding people's hands.
TLC.
And, yeah, I mean, that would have been considered the standard of medical care. So whether or not the patients were living or dying, he probably wasn't, you know, discredited. So at this point, he's made a name for himself. People kind of like him. And a young guy shows up at his office. And he's there for what he calls sexual weakness. Mm-hmm. And he says,
oh, boy, you hit right on the button. Boy, did you come to the right place.
And he's like, you know, this is my thing. He's here for sexual weakness. That's virility is my favorite thing to take care of. So he says, Doc, is there anything you can do to, you know, put the spark back in the bedroom for me and the missus? And he has this, Dr. Brinkley has this great knowledge about goats. And mm-hmm. he's like, he actually makes a comment to him, you know.
You ever seen a goat?
If you just had goat testicles, you wouldn't have any problems. And this young man
Boy,
says,
boy, you have got to nail that delivery. You get one shot to look somebody in the eye and say, you know. If you had goat testicles, I see, even that, I don't think you would buy that for me. I don't think I could sell it the way that Romulus could.
Well, the way Romulus sold it worked, because the young man says, well, why don't you just give me goat testicles?
Sure.
And he says, all right, I'll do it for $150.
Grab a seat. Cop squat.
Which is great that not only does he talk this guy into letting him try this experimental surgery on
him.
But he charges him $150 at the time. Not
forget about
corrected.
It.
Yeah. $150, you know, in 1918. So the guy agrees and he takes, you know, goat testicles, and basically the way he would do this surgery is he would just, well, I guess this is going to be kind of
good. Kind of bad. I'll use my mind's eye, thanks.
Just kind of puts him in the sack.
With the others?
Yeah, with the others.
Really?
Yeah.
Bonus.
Yep.
Okay.
Just kind of put him in there.
Just get in there.
So,
okay.
The guy later on claims that it works. and this is supported by the fact that shortly after this, his wife actually gets pregnant. This is the story.
No.
This guy's wife gets pregnant. And even better, for the time, it's a boy.
Fantastic.
So...
And thus, Jim Brewer's classic goat boy sketch was born.
This is where it comes from.
That's where he got the idea.
They actually did name the kid Billy in honor of the goat.
No, okay, it's a bit on the nose, but it's a different time.
I'm not making this up. So at this point, everybody wanted it. And I should say, he was not the only guy who was experimenting with this idea. There were doctors at other places in Europe who were trying, they were actually taking the material from testicles, not actual testicles from animals, but like crushed dog, guinea pig, lamb, monkey testes, just pieces of it, and injecting the material into human testicles and in an attempt to do the same thing. And this was probably not so much for sexual weakness as what we would now call erectile dysfunction.
Got it.
I would say. So this really took off in Milford. He did lots and lots of transplants. He started charging $750 a piece, which nice. I did check this out. That would be about $8,800 a surgery now.
Yow. Yowza.
The problem with this is that the more surgeries he did, the more times things could go wrong.
I could see how there might be a slip-up,
and
what with him not being a doctor and all.
All through this time period, as I tell you more about what happened next, you've got to understand he's constantly being sued.
Okay.
There are wrongful death suits, and then just people suing him for it not working, although still more people claim that it does work. One reason is that he actually, at one point, only advertises it for what he calls intelligent patients.
Oh, okay. Discerning.
And I think the reason is that he believes that intelligent people are less likely to want to go tell other people if it doesn't work.
Okay.
Like, yeah. I got goat balls and it didn't work.
Yeah, no kidding.
And he thinks stupid people will just go tell everybody. So he'll only do it if he thinks you're smart enough.
This guy gave me goat testicles. I don't do it any better than I did it before. He's a charlatan.
You know, they did it. He did it for women as well.
Nice. Where did he put them?
About where he thought her ovaries were. Maybe
no
actually.
Idea.
Well, yeah. I mean, he never
dancing.
Really went to. I mean, he never finished a decent medical school. So I, about where he thought they were.
Here-ish.
And I think this is great. He would give them either male goat testicles, or he would get a female goat and get the ovaries. And the way he would decide which one a woman got was based on what gender child she wanted.
Oh, good. Kind of a customization, mix and match kind of deal. I'm into it.
Yeah, if you want a male child, you know, you get goat testes. If you want a female child, you get goat ovaries.
Mm-hmm.
He advertised very heavily, and the more surgeries he did, the more things he claimed that they could fix. So instead of just fixing virility and fertility, he could cure flu, dementia, emphysema, insanity, acne, hypertension. Basically anything could be cured with goat testicles.
Uh-oh, folks. You know what that makes is a cure-all. And what do we know about cure-alls is that they cure
nothing. This was related to his belief, by the way, that sex energy was the basis of all energy.
Now I'm into that. Like orgone energy, right?
Exactly.
Like the kind of energy that Albert Einstein tried to capture in a sex box.
It's the same thing. Well, it was
check
just
out that episode, everybody,
energy.
if you haven't listened. You know what? I asked people to tweet when they listened to that they found out that our greatest mind spent an afternoon trying to capture sexual energy in a box. And I still see those tweets from time to time.
That makes me happy every time I see that. He thought that goat testes contained what he called, this is great, this is his actual writing I was reading, vitamin which was an indeterminate substance, but he thought was very important, you know, vitamin. He did run into a hiccup when he tried to use Angora goats instead of Toggenburg goats. Mm-hmm. And Angora goat balls, I guess, smell really bad. And so all of his patients were not thrilled about the Angora goat testicles. They wanted the Toggenbergs back.
You try to cut costs. You try to use some standard materials, and this is what you get.
People will call you on it.
You do. They notice. They notice it's different.
Dude, you're doing something that doesn't work for $750 each. Why rock the boat?
Just get the expensive balls.
You know what was weird, too, is that in the article I was reading, it said that Toggenburg goats were actually more common. So he was finding, like, the rare goat testicles that are, I guess it's like fancy cheeses are really smelly. Yes.
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
Just exactly stick with like cheddar. So the AMA was getting involved at this point. Thank He's God. Making all this money and they're trying to shut him down. But the more that they advertise that he's a quack, the more he kind of turns this publicity his way and is like, the AMA is trying to stop you from this great new procedure. And he relies a lot on testimonials. So he gets his patients to come on and, you know, talk about how great it is because they were. He started a radio show. So this guy got really big into radio advertising, and he would answer questions. It was like the medicine box or something, and he would answer questions and then advertise all of his products and procedures. And he got a lot of publicity when he did the procedure on the then owner of the LA Times, who felt like it worked great. And he spent some time in LA and actually got a lot of Hollywood endorsement at that time. It said that he did this procedure on some stars of the time, but I don't know any names. But this is actually why
I can't believe they wouldn't be rushing to volunteer that information.
I have goat balls. But this is actually why, did you know that the term goat gland was used at the time in Hollywood for when you would add voiceover to a silent film?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, when you would try to make it a talkie to make it, you know, fit the time, it was called goat gland because of this procedure.
I did not know that.
He built a radio station to continue to advertise in Mexico, which was... Have you heard of these border blasters?
Yeah, Mexican. There's a song about it.
I don't know.
On the Mexican radio.
He was one of the first ones to do this.
Wall of Sound, I think is the name of it.
Anyway, yeah.
Wall of Video, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I heard that reference as I was reading about border blasters. He did this. Basically, that way he could skirt any U.S. laws about... you know, being a charlatan on the air, because you weren't allowed to be like a fortune teller, or, you know, that kind of stuff on the air. So he would call in via telephone to broadcast, like from the U.S. to Mexico to broadcast from Mexico, which is actually specifically banned now by the Brinkley Act, named for him.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
So he would give advice, sell meds. He also launched the careers of several country music artists this way. And he would sell other fake stuff. For instance, my favorite, autograph pictures of Jesus.
I don't know where they thought he found a pen, but okay.
He eventually expanded to adding human testicles for transplant instead of just goat testicles. He got them from criminals on death row. And that procedure would cost you $5,000. In addition, he opened the National Dr. Brinkley Pharmaceutical Association and sold a bunch of colored water that way.
The classics.
So this guy was making a mint. I mean, he had houses and cars and was filthy, filthy rich until 1930, when at long last the AMA was finally able to build a case and shut him down. Wow. And this was, they were working on him. The FRC was working on shutting down the radio stations, finally finding ways to, every time they would make a law, he would skirt it, and they finally made enough to stop him. He was actually even violating international treaties at that point because it was a back and forth across the border. So as they shut him down, his last-ditch effort to stop it was to run for governor of Kansas.
Nice!
Which he actually did a total of three times. I thought it was twice. It was three times. He almost won. The last time he won 30% of the vote. And this was as a write-in candidate.
What a different state that would have been.
As a write-in candidate, he did this. And his goal was then he could give himself back a medical license.
Think how sweet Kansas would be now, Kansas.
He went down as he was known as the Milford Messiah because of all this.
Wow.
He did in total 16,000 transplants.
Amazing.
As I mentioned, everything was kind of caving in around him at this point. He was, in addition to the AMA and the FRC, he was investigated for tax fraud and for mail fraud. By 1941, he had to declare bankruptcy, and he basically lost everything. And in 1942, due to multiple blood clots, and he lost his leg, and he had several heart attacks, he passed away.
Yeah, pretty good timing, though.
Yeah, the money lasted right till the very end.
Yeah. He died penniless, which has always seemed like pretty good timing to me.
he made the best use of his money.
Yeah,
while he was alive, that's for sure.
It's like Jim Treliving says on Dragon's Den: you never see a hearse with a Brinks truck behind it. You know, you gotta spend it while you're here. Anyway, this is our Canadian Dragon's Den fan cast and medical history show.
Our Canadian listeners right now are cheering.
Yeah,
and hooray. Everyone else in the U.S. is going, who?
Man, they're all on YouTube. Catch it. Anyway.
All of them. Thank you.
There. Thank you.
I don't know why you do that, but thank you.
This has been our show, Sawbones. Thank you so much for listening. Gosh, we sure appreciate you. Max Fun Week has been a really good opportunity for us to check back in with everybody and see all you fine people tweeting about our show, and that's really kind of you. Thank you to people tweeting about us with the @Sawbones username on Twitter, like our sister, Teresa McElroy, Ashley Pagnotta, Kara Anel, Ryan James Haupt, Dan, something scary, Mark, it's hard with Halloween. You know, everybody's names are different. Kids Dr. Dave, Devin Valdivia, Seffy Halloween. See, I mean Halloween, I don't know. They're Halloween names, but you know who you are if you tweeted about us. Thank you.
We
appreciate
Halloween
you.
Halloween names or not.
Halloween names. Thank you to everybody else on the Maximum Fun Network for letting us be a part of your family. Jordan Jesse Go, Judge John Hodgman, Bullseye, One Bad Mother, Lady to Lady, The Goose Down, Flophouse.
My brother, and
thank
me.
You, dear. I could go on. There's a lot of great shows at MaximumFun.org. They're all waiting there for you. We're on iTunes. If you could give us a subscription there, a rating, or a review, or whatever, that would be amazing. And that's going to do it for us here on Sawbones. Until next Tuesday, I'm Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
As always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.